Good to be with everybody today. I hope you're enjoying Christ. I hope you're enjoying one another as we gather in His name, for His name, and for the good of the world. There's a verse that I want to start with here. It's in John 6, 28 and 29. I have an email that I'm working on to post on my blog sometime. Things that I find myself repeating, you know. And it's not because I'm repeating them because, you know, I have to say it again because people are getting it. That's not it. It just seems to apply so often. Things that Jesus says that seem to apply so often. And this is one of those verses that I find myself, it applies so often. It's in John 6 and 28. There was a question posed to Jesus, one that maybe some of you sometimes feel like asking. He says, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Have you ever had one of those experiences? I remember a student in my youth ministry was just real inspired. Just he had a few weeks in a row where he just got moved. He wants to do more for Christ. And it's really exciting when a student decides to do that so early in life. It's where so many of the lifelong decisions are made or in our student ministry time. And I love you guys when you decide to make decisions for Christ so early that you want to be a worker, not just have the blessing, but to give the blessing. And I had a student do that, and I answered it with, man, it's a hard question to answer, because there's so much you can do for Christ, right? But without me getting off into that, let me tell you one of the common elements that I think will be present in every answer, in everything you create, in anything you create with, co-create with God. One work that will permeate any work you do is what Jesus says here. He says the work of God is this: to believe in the one He has sent. No matter what work you go about doing, if you are doing it for the kingdom, it will summon you to believe in Jesus to do it, or you won't do it. You won't think you're good enough to do it. You will think the task is too big for you. You won't believe you're qualified enough, that you know enough, that you can do enough. You compare yourself to some other worker in the kingdom, and so you diminish yourself so you don't believe you can participate. Or the good news of Christ that you have for people is so unbelievably good for you that you don't believe it. It just can't be that good. Whatever work you end up doing, and a lot of you are doing work for Christ, tell me if it's not true. The one thing that's in common, the work of God that you are doing, absolutely demands that you believe in Jesus. That you believe in Him. That you believe in what He teaches. You believe in His life. That you can have that life. Belief has always been a struggle for people. My main text where I'm going to get kind of the teaching that I wish Jesus never said is from Mark chapter 16. And let me set it up here, kind of give you some background with the disciples. Starting in verse 9. It says, "When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had driven seven demons." So let me set this up. Jesus has lived. He predicted His death. He died. He predicted He'd come back to life. He came back to life. And now He's starting to appear. And all of His closest followers heard this teaching repetitively. Okay? And yet still, His closest followers struggled to believe. So Mary saw Him, and it says, "She went and told those who had been with Him and who were mourning and weeping. When they had heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen Him, they did not believe it." And that's not the end of it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned, and they reported to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for what? For their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. So this is kind of a spiritually beat around group, like we are a lot of times. We know the Word. We know what it says. We teach it even sometimes intellectually. But when it comes down to it, we don't believe it. He wants to change the world. Not with me, or not the literal world. You know, we don't believe it. So here Jesus comes to His followers, like He's coming to us today. And He rebukes them for their stubbornness in unbelieving. Okay? And you think they're struggling now. Now they believe. Here he is. He's right before him. Thomas touches the wound, the other gospel says. I mean, here he is. He's right before. They believe he's resurrected. And then he says the words I wish he never said. And they were probably stretched once again in whether they would believe or not. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. I can see them having just been healed of their unbelief about the resurrection. All excited. They're finally believed. Yeah, they apologize to Mary and they, you know, apologize to the two guys that saw them on the road. Okay, you were right. And then they're all ears. And he says, okay, your turn. Go to all the world. And they went. And they look at each other. I mean, they don't have the United States Postal Service like we do. You know, they don't have cars. They don't have the internet. They don't have airplanes. You know, they don't have anything that we take for granted. This is 12 ragtag guys, most from Galilee, right? That don't have a lot of resources, let alone are missionary trained and like crossing cultures and taking the gospel to some other culture. I can imagine them going, man, it was really great believing you there for a couple of seconds. Do you want us to go to all the world? Couldn't you just send me home? Like, to tell my family, to tell my neighbors, and he does do that, doesn't he? But he doesn't stop there. He wants his followers to take it into all the world. In our day and age, with the technology and communication systems that are available to us, I really think it's not unrealistic to believe that every single believer on the planet could be engaged with someone in another nation. And I've got a couple of goals this morning. I'll just call them Mark 16, 15 goals. One of them I've had for a while, long time. I haven't come out of the closet with it to you guys. And it's the second one. The first one's more important than the second one. But they're both, I think, right out of this verse. And they would take belief from us, from every one of us to attain. Which makes me think it's the work of God. The first goal would be that every single follower of Christ here to have a disciple-making relationship with someone in another nation. And this isn't the normal song I'm singing. I'm always calling you to have it with your neighbors right here in town. I hope you are doing that. Thank you for that prayer that we had earlier, thanking God for our outreach through relationships focus that all of us can attain to. But I want you to add this to it, just out of belief, that when he said go into all the world, he really meant it. I would love for every single believer to have some sort of disciple-making relationship with someone in another nation. And the second one, which is just kind of cool to me, it kind of takes this verse literally, like to all the world, to all creation. I would love for every single nation to have at least one citizen in its borders in a relationship with someone at Southwest. Wouldn't that be cool? And that's why I say it's not as important as the first. I'd rather you have an actual, genuine relationship, disciple-making with someone from another nation, more than us kind of be able to say, hey, every nation we've got represented here. But it would take belief, wouldn't it? It would take belief to take the commission literally. For a church to take his commission as at its word. Now, Southwest is already, there's 194 nations, by the way, 194 nations. On our rolls, we have over 400 families here. So you could take like a quarter of a nation each, and we would have, you know, the whole world covered four times, every nation. Just kind of neat to think about. But this morning, I want you to know that Southwest is already very involved in this all the world part of the commission of Christ. Corporately, some of you may not even know, we have a missions team that gathers, that they are a Southwest small group in and of themselves. I tell you what, they've had to get into some serious intimate discussions with each other to take care of the mission efforts that we're doing here. And these flags right up here kind of represent some of the corporate places that we as a group are either helping financially. Most of those we have some financial stake in it, or just through some sort of very personal relationship that we have. And that is not comprehensive of the other aspect of our missions effort. And that is you personally. Each of you personally have your hands and feet in different nations besides ours that we couldn't fill. We couldn't put all the flags up here. But there's more. There's more out there. And so I want us to talk about that. You know, and by the way, each one of the corporate efforts that we have, they are corporate efforts of this church family because someone in this family got into a relationship with someone either in that nation or going to that nation, and then we backed them up as a church family in some way. So all of this, even our corporate mission efforts as a church, they all come down to some sort of relationship. Inevitably, if the relationship with someone in that nation breaks down between them and the people here, and it's never the whole church they have a relationship with, it's someone here. If it breaks down, then our connection to them breaks down. And it can get messy. But we have a lot of this already going on. And I want to go through a few of them today and share them with you for the purpose of inspiring you to believe that maybe you could have a kingdom advancing relationship with someone outside of our borders. Like, I want you to actually believe that you could, because you can. And I'll give you a couple, with just a little bit of energy from you, a couple of avenues through which you could do that today. You could learn how to do that today. Let's pray about that. And yeah, let's pray. God, you know how close this is to my heart. And I know that's not near as close as it is to yours. And there are others in here, God, who have put legs to this vision of yours in their lives. Not just having relationships in other nations, but having gone there to fuel them, to back them up, to blow them up into stronger relationship ties for the kingdom. God, I pray that you would stir people in here today. And God, when we ask, so how can I get involved in another nation? We have some ideas, but really, God, it is as creative as they and you want it to be. All we ask, God, is that it's real, that it's an authentic connection with someone or a group of someone's in other nations that is advancing the kingdom both here and abroad. Stir us, God. Stir someone in here today and change a nation because of some seed you want to plant. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So I called up our missions team and I was asking them, who would I talk to about? I just came in here and wrote down the names of the flags. Who would I talk to about the Philippines, about Africa, about? And it was cool because almost everyone was a different name. You know, someone else in here is who would be best to talk to because they have relationship in these different countries, in these different nations. And there's no way, what I learned while I started calling a few of them, I realized we would be here all day if I talk about and just praise God and celebrate the work that is already being done here. So I just kind of tossed a coin and picked a few to tell you about. And the first one I want to tell you about is in Oaxaca, Mexico. There's a girl named Leticia who grew up in Dumas here in the Panhandle. And she went on a mission trip, an extended mission trip to Mexico. Her heart fell in love with Christ's people there and the people of that city. And she came back and decided she wanted to go back. So she went back and she met a Mexican national named Jorge. And they got married. And then they moved to Oaxaca, Mexico, where they planted a church. They tried the house church thing, which for about 6 months, and it wasn't taking for them. It just wasn't working. You know, we're not talking about, I'm all into like small groups, house churches kind of thing. So that got me excited, but it didn't work in the context they were in, at least with them. So after 6 months, they decided a new strategy, which we all should be able to do. You know, we want to get the gospel message, the unchanging gospel, change whatever strategy we need to do that effectively. And so they rented a building and put up a sign and start inviting people to the place. And they grew. The church grew to about 30 in 1 year. They ended up merging with another group of followers in the city. So they kind of got together and they had about 60 as a core group that were real excited. We did that once, remember? We did that many years ago. We merged with another place in this town. And they currently, now, they've grown to about 100. They have 3 or 4 men that are ready to lead, that already do personal work among the church and beyond. And Leticia, who is from Dumas, has a growing women's ministry down there that is really taking Christ to ladies. I mean, it's exciting, exciting work. There's 750,000 people in that city. Now, I know the Allens and the Golightlys and the Burrs have relationship with the Serranos, our family that's there. They have relations. They've been there. And so that's one of the flags that we have up there. That the story is so much bigger than that. The next one I want to talk about is Brazil and Rio. Back in 2000, Kyle, right, is 2000, you took a group of students down there, right as this church, there was a missionary team there, and they were starting a church. And so Kyle took a group of our students down to Rio, and the area they were in, what I understand is it was surrounded by porn shops and bars. I mean, it is, you know, a typical society, kind of like Amarillo, you know, just a typical society. And the kids went into this building. They got it painted. They got it ready for their first service. They went out into that community on those streets, handed out flyers for that first meeting. They also went to the high school there and started sharing there and talking there. They did a youth rally there while they were there, and they had about 48 students show up from that high school. And then they left, and the church had their first meeting, first gathering, and 98 people came to that first service. Today, the church is over 400 in members, has a Brazilian preacher and youth minister. They have elders established. The mission team that's there is backing out. And in a way, you can really like just declare victory, because they are now a self-supporting, for the most part, I think they are either there or on their way. Their building is paid for, a congregation of Brazilians ministering to Brazilians. Our most recent missionaries that we supported there, Carlos and Elaine Castillo, which we've gotten to meet since I've been here. They're just a precious couple. They've worked, ended up, when they got down there, they ended up working on family ministry. They are the Brad Thompson of that Rio church, you know, just working with families. And so their kids, one of them's graduated. They all moved there. They're now going to be at Oklahoma Christian as visiting missionary, if I remember right, kind of teacher there. But they'd like to go back to Mexico, to another town in Ito, Brazil, and continue in ministering to families. So our work, I guess in a way we could say, could be done there. We could be done. We've had a good work, and in a way that's true. But we are in relationship with the Castillos, so we may be back there. In Cape Town, South Africa, there's Roger Dixon was here this weekend, so I have to mention him. He's got a printing press that one of the ministries, I say of this church, it's independent of this church, but KSM is a fund that has a board of directors all from this church. And so really, it's done through us. But anyway, we got in relationship with Roger somehow, and he does printing out of Cape Town, South Africa, like printing of Bibles and Bible material. And when I got to go to Zimbabwe a year and a half ago, we had a preacher seminar. It was unbelievable, the resources that were used to get all these preachers from Zimbabwe to this one location. So Jerry Morgan and I could preach the Restoration of Discipleship kind of series. They were so fed. But we had a big box sent from Roger Dixon in South Africa there to hand out study Bibles to these preachers, which is gold to them. Just gold to them. Roger was just here, like I said, this weekend, and I asked some that met with him what was one of the highlights, and they said 30 tons of material he printed in the last year that has gone to the schools of South Africa and some other nations there in Africa, because they teach Bible in the schools if that material is there and the teachers are there to do it. 30 tons of material in South Africa. And that's not all we've got in South Africa. There's a man named Mark Swartz that works at the Vineyard. It's a vineyard. Rhonda Salmon gets real excited about them. It was a relational kind of hub in the city there. They work with the herding of the herding. There's a soup kitchen. There's Bible studies. There's support groups. Beautiful work that's right in line with our values. We know a couple, the Ken and Judy Kendallball in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. They're writing curriculum for those schools that I don't know if Roger's printing their curriculum or not, but they are writing curriculum and training teachers. And they need teachers, by the way, to help writing curriculum for the schools there. That's a way you could get in relationship with these folks and make a difference. They need teachers there, I think, to come and help teach it. It may be in the summers. Rhonda Salmon is all over the South Africa work, if you would be interested in looking at that. This one, I got to be careful. We'll be here all day, but it's a little office next to mine over there. It's the World Bible Study Room. And there, a small group of disciples meeting there to do Bible studies and develop relationships with people all over the world through the mail. Okay, so it's slow relationship building. But that's what's going on in there. In 2008, in that little room, you just walk by here Thursday. I walk by, I drop Jakin off at Montessori school, and then I'd walk by, and there they are in there. And I just think, changing the world. They're changing the world, you know, in there. They sent out last year, 2008, 5,549 first-time studies with people around the world. They sent out over 2,000 advanced studies, those that take it, read it, send it back, and want to continue. You know, this year they've already done over 1,500 first-time students and 680 advanced students. They hit Zimbabwe, Kenya, Tanzania, Namibia, Malawi, Sierra. And Malawi's so small, it'd be hard to find somebody there. Sierra Leone, Zambia, the Cayman Islands, Australia, Nigeria. Just this last week, they got to add two more nations, South Africa and Uganda. They just got studies in from them. And I'm not being comprehensive here. These are just the ones they kind of whipped out when I asked. Yeah, there's this place, this place, this place. The World Bible Studies tell them about Christ, and just as important, connect them to someone. Even though it's through a letter in the mail, connect them to someone who loves them in the name of Christ. So they do these studies, but I have this, there's a 17-year-old girl in Zimbabwe. And she is hungry for Christ. And she got a lesson somehow. They do a lot through the schools down there. And I got to see that when we went down there. And I might have met this girl. I don't know. But we might have handed her a lesson while we were there. But she wrote in, and she's hungry for more. And she wrote to her teacher, Stephanie Brennan, said, "I just want to thank the mighty God who made his effort to us knowing each other. Although we are pen pal friends," she put penny pal friends, "one day we're going to meet each other. I want you to know the following details about myself. I'm a girl who was born in 1991. I'm turning 18 years of age this 2009. Oh, may God bless you. May you continue passing the word of God as you are. Let us pray for each other concerning today's life and other difficulties we are facing." And if you know anything about what's going on in Zimbabwe, that's a loaded statement right there. And her desire to be prayed for and her willingness to pray for someone here. She said, "For much more information, we're going to communicate in such a way like this. By yours, Schiller Dengu." They just have, that's one letter of thousands of studies that are going out. Truly what Jesus said is true. We need to pray the harvest for more workers. We need more workers. Sometimes in World Bible School, they'll get other kinds of questions. A Nigerian teenager wrote in with a newspaper clip. And he was asking if it's okay to have multiple sexual partners. Okay, he's just asking this very practical thing. And he wrote a clip from his paper in Nigeria that explains the benefits of having multiple partners. Okay, it says it'll build up your self-esteem. It's totally okay. So he sends that clip in because he's gotten something else from this Bible study. And he needs some clarification. And so through the mail, somebody might be saving this boy. They might be saving him, not just from emotional turmoil and some young ladies from the same thing, but from losing his life. Because they can easily... I mean, Nigeria is publishing reports in their newspaper that is spreading AIDS. I mean, Stephanie just said to me, she goes, "They're dying. These people," and she points to the envelope, "they're dying." We sometimes get letters back, lessons back, where the name has been scratched out and a new name is in. And we find out that the student that we were talking to either couldn't come to school anymore because his parents died of AIDS and they can't pay the fees to go because they do this through the schools, or that person died. It is heartbreaking and exciting work. So we send AIDS information through these, Stephanie said. Some write in pretty tough theological questions. And there's a way to help with those. You don't have to be a Bible major to go over there and lick envelopes and stamp them with return addresses and maybe put the postage on. And you don't have to do that, but you can be really encouraged and maybe connect with one student through that. But Connie Colson has found a way to do it. When they have a really tough question, they call up Connie. So would you come by? And he takes it home and he studies and he writes it. And I told him this morning as walking in, "I heard another way you're changing the world." And I told him that. He goes, "Oh, it's fun." I go,
Yes, it is. It is fun. He's just ministering to these people all over the world through the mail. And I'm telling you, that is one way that you can do it. If you talk, if you want to get involved in this, they need the entry point really is Thursday mornings. If you can give some time there. And it, the beautiful part they said is they are a small group. They've built relationships and love each other, but you can miss. If you can't be regular, that's okay. You can still do it. Nikki Chisholm, I heard, is coming in 1 hour on Thursdays before she goes to work. And they just love her for that and are blessed by her presence. That's just wonderful. Maybe you could. Maybe that's how you start. And that's what I was saying. Maybe this is an idea that you can start, that you could invest in just one student overseas. The internet takes this to a whole new level. World Bible School is now on the internet. As a matter of fact, World Bible School, the home office, is raising money to try to elevate their status on Yahoo so that when people are looking for Bible studies, they'll come to them. They want more people, which means they'll need more workers. And so that's happening right now. I had lunch with Dwayne Trimble not long ago, and he talked about his student. And I thought he just had one student. And I asked him, he goes, well, if we're all talking at the same time, he goes, I got about 100 students on the web. Maybe you can't do 100, okay? The web internet kind of connection relationship can build a lot quicker, and some of them will get impatient with you. So maybe you start with one. Bobby Martin, he currently has two students. I can't remember where you said they were, Bobby, but they're in two different places. And he's got these relationships going. And Bobby told me he'd be willing to show you how to do it. How to become, just, he said, as simple as anything. Get on a computer and I can show him how to get a student. So if you want to do that, Bobby Martin's a great resource. And so is Barbara Camp. As we know, the camps are personally involved in Eastern Europe stuff going on. There's all kinds of things, and they've gone there and lived there part-time for years now, at least since I've been here, probably more than that. And so you can get involved at all kinds of different levels, which is so exciting. But Barbara is still engaged in internet studies, and she doesn't use World Bible School. She says World Bible School is like a good strategy for African nations and really anybody. You got to meet them where they're at. And she has found this other place, the World English Institute, that she says has worked quite a bit better in Europe, in Eastern Europe. And these are old Eastern Bloc nations. She mentioned the Ukraine, Russia, Romania, Hungary. Sounded like there were a lot more places, which I know there were, because she told me of one of her students in Iran who searched the internet for stories of Christ. He went to a missionary school of some kind when he was a kid. So he had these seeds planted about Jesus. But then when that revolution happened, they kicked the Shah out, right? And the whole Muslim thing took over. It became dangerous to be Christian. I don't think they even have missionary schools in Iran now. If they do, I don't know how. It's probably all underground. But this guy remembered the Jesus that was planted in his heart from his youth. Went on the web, looked for him. This is why World Bible School wants to elevate their thing. Looked for somebody. I don't know how, but he found Barbara Camp. He was so hungry, she started sending him everything she could through World English Institute study. Everything she found on the internet, she would send to him. He ends up converting. He goes across the border into Dubai to find a group that would baptize him. He gets baptized in the Christ, and now he lives back in Tehran or somewhere near there. And sounds to me like he's very isolated. He can't talk about it much. He can't speak of it. And so his friend in Christ is Barbara Camp. We need more workers. Now, you can do this. I remember the first time I started hearing Paula, my sweet sister Paula, talk about World Bible School. It sounded so big, so complex, so hard. I didn't know that I could do it, but I know that we can. There's another place that I wanted to mention that we have a flag up here, and that's the Philippines. Johnny, would you come up here? This is Johnny Estep. We just happened to have him here this weekend. Roger was here, and Johnny's here, and I've asked Johnny to just give us a few minutes on the work there in the Philippines since we have him here. Tell us a little bit about that, Johnny. Thank you for being here so much.
Thank you, Brian. And thank you for those wonderful words about, some people call it the Great Commission. I call it the Greatest Commission, because that's what it is. So God bless you for your evangelistic spirit. I want to first and foremost say thank you to Southwest. Thank you, Southwest, for being behind us. You are our most valued supporter. And I don't really have the words to express how grateful we are to you, but Please believe me when I tell you that we are so very grateful and humbled by your standing behind us like you do. And thank you. It's a privilege to be your partner in the gospel. I want to tell you about my passion. And I thank Brian and Roger Wilcox and the Mission Committee and everybody for giving me this opportunity. I'm a nobody. I really am. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing special. But the Christ that works through me is somebody. And He's something special. And the Christ that works through you is somebody. And He's something special. And it's a great privilege to be a part of Project Philippines. This is what we're calling our work. We live and work in the Republic of the Philippines. This is a nation of 90 million people. Now, to put that in context, if you were to add up the populations of our three most populous states of the Union, you know them, California, Texas, New York. Add up the population of those three great states, and you're not going to reach 90 million. The Republic of the Philippines is 90 million people, and it's a place where very few know Christ. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to take the good news about Jesus Christ to those folks over there, and what we're doing, you're a part of that, and I want to thank you again. I can't say thank you enough. What we've done is we put together a team, and I'm a strong believer in teamwork, in missions. And you remember the missionary journeys of Paul. He had a team, didn't he? You go over and look at Acts chapter 20, verse 4. There was more than two of them. There was many of them. And Paul had a great team. We put together what I believe is a great team. We've been together for 10 months, full-time work. And during that 10 months, God has blessed us with 37 conversions. And it's been a wonderful experience. And again, I want to thank you for being part of it, because you are a part of it. God has blessed you with 37 conversions in the islands of Leyte and Samar, where we work. It's a tremendous joy. And we take evangelism seriously. And I appreciate once again Brian for this wonderful sermon, these wonderful words about the greatest commission. But there's another way in which we do evangelism. It's through schools. I want to tell you a little bit about Leyte Christian College. We live on the island of Leyte. It's one of the largest islands in the Philippines. And what we've done is we have founded a Christian college, a Christian school. We have 15 young men who have already completed their first year of training to become preachers of the good news about Jesus Christ. And hopefully, God willing, when we go back over there next month, we're going to have another 15 or 20 or maybe 25 who will begin their first year. These guys that you're looking at on the screen, they'll be beginning their second year. And so I believe that what's going to happen is, long after I'm dead, that these guys here that you're looking at, long after many of us are dead and gone, that they'll still be bringing folks to Christ. And that's the story behind Leyte Christian College. I believe it's a biblical model. If you remember when Paul was in the great city of Ephesus, there's something he did there for 2 years, every day for 2 years, he taught in a school. We read about a school that a man by the name of Tyrannus ran. This is Acts chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. But the only time in the Bible we read about this guy, we don't know anything about him except for the fact that he had a school. And Paul was there every day teaching the Word of God. And verse 10 says, as a result of Paul being there every day, that the Word of the Lord went throughout all Asia. Now the question is, how did the Word go throughout all Asia if Paul was there every day? If Paul was every day in Ephesus, how did the word go out throughout all Asia? Well, it's because of the men, I believe, that he trained there. And possibly women too. There are women missionaries. So this is a biblical model. I want you to think about the great schools in our great brotherhood, some near us. Like, for example, Abilene Christian University, Lubbock Christian University, Sunset International Bible Institute in Lubbock. These schools are turning out men who are and women who are taking the good news about Jesus Christ to the four corners of the earth, the greatest commission. And so that's what we're about at Leyte Christian College. And again, I want to thank you for being a part of that. You are a part of Leyte Christian College, Southwest Church of Christ is. And thank you so much. One last thing I want to tell you about is a property that we were able to purchase just 3 months ago. A very beautiful property which overlooks the San Juanico Straits. About 14 acres, as I said, a very, very beautiful property. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to build that Christian college on that property. We've already engaged an architect. We have in the works a three-story building, 2,500 square feet per floor, and a flat roof at the top, which we can make use of as well. So about 10,000 square feet. We believe we can build this building for about $80,000. And that's one of the reasons why. It's pretty cheap, I know, but things are cheap in the Philippines. That's one of the reasons why we're here, going around to different churches and individuals asking for partners who might be with us in that. But again, I want to thank Southwest for your great involvement in Project Philippines. You have a relationship with us, but if some of you, especially young people, would like to come over and help out, guess what? Filipinos love Americans. They love Americans and all things American. Coca-Cola is great over there, basketball. And guess what? 90% of Filipinos are fluent in English. That means you could come over for a short mission trip. They could understand you. You could understand them. So we're inviting you. We're inviting you. Come over and be a physical part of it as well. God bless you all, and thank you again, and thank you, Brian.
Amen. Thank you, Johnny. Goodness. You feel the passion and the hope and the potential and the explosive nature of kingdom work just in him? You know, I could get some of you up here, and we'd have the same experience in your area of the world that you're so excited about, that you're passionate about. Oh, goodness, we can change the world. We can. We were commissioned to. All we have to do is the work of God and believe. I could go on and on. There's an orphanage in the Ukraine that's supporting anywhere from 25 to 40 kids. Because of a relationship here with Southwest, it's still functioning and has been for years because of that. There's hundreds of widows and orphans in the nation of Zimbabwe who are being kept alive with one daily survival meal because of a relationship with someone here at Southwest. I was just this morning walking through here, and because I had an ear for it, I was talking to my brother who has met someone on the internet, has been doing a Bible study with someone from the Dominican Republic. He just got back from there. Went to church with this student and this friend, and the church wanted him to preach while he's there. I mean, just that. Jeremy just got back today and had that story. He didn't preach, by the way. Sorry, Jeremy. How did you? He was nervous, like all of us would be. We have to believe. One of Dwayne Turner's students is from India. He said he has several, but one wants to be baptized. I happen to have met a guy, a minister of a church in India, that has a team of four. He has a great team too, Johnny. He's got four Indian ministers. They minister to a church of about 130. They have baptisms regularly. They're reaching more people, mostly Hindus, for Christ. He also has a picture. He sent me a picture like yours of about 17 to 20 young men that he has his own little preacher school. And he searched the internet. He found the Southwest Church of Christ website, thanks to Craig. And then he initiated with an email to me asking for coaching and mentoring and help. I'm like, I think we need to turn that around. You know, you need to mentor me. And we started this great relationship. There's all kinds of kingdom work. He sent this email, you know, they are, you know, we've been declaring we're in transition. We're always in transition, truth be told. We're always trying to move closer to the heart and priorities of Christ at the Southwest Church. And that's what he needs help with. He wants help transitioning that church and the preachers he works with and the society of churches that he's around as he reaches. And he wrote this to me after our email relationship started. No money involved, just an email relationship. He said, "Dear Brother David Brian Mashburn." Did you know my first name was David? It is. "I am understanding your heart, and those are helping me to grow in knowledge in Christ. We are all changing our bias towards Jesus after I get in relationship with you. And you could find in our weekly report that that is true. I'm sending it with this email. We will fill our mind with proper and more knowledge about Christ and his character. All of our ministers in India should need these practical knowledge about Christ." His English is a little off. "Your guessing is right about our teaching on church and its worship services and returning to the first century pattern of practices. Our God is helping us through you to change this bias to imitate Christ and better preachers and ministers of Christ, more like Jesus and more focus on Jesus. You have changed my mind. Now I am always thinking about Christ and speaking about him with others." This just through an internet relationship. You can do this. You can do this. You see in this statement that he made, man, there's just so many things. Carlan Flint, I just got back from Haiti, went to Haiti and brought back a little idea for that the ladies' ministry is, the ladies' class people, they're all contributing to a little hope for Haiti's children. I mean, I could go on and on. I better just stop looking at these notes because I will. I know we're running late. Look at this verse again. This thing I wish Jesus didn't say. He said, go. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. When he says go to that ragtag group of disciples, I wonder, just that part, I wonder what that was to them. He didn't say merely send somebody to all the world. He didn't say that. There's nothing wrong with sending. But he didn't just say that, not here. He didn't say support. Support them through email, Brian. Those around the world. It's nothing wrong with doing that. But he didn't say that here. He didn't say finance. Finance work. In all the world. We should do that. Especially Americans should do that. But he didn't say that. It's a very personal challenge. Go. Go into all the world. I want to ask our elders and our ministers and their wives just to spread around here. Remember at the beginning I said if something's stirring in you, take it seriously today. Maybe it's for a nation. Maybe you already have a potential relationship with a nation. A group of us went to California this last couple weeks ago, and on the flight, sitting next to me and Adrian was a Pakistani. And he initiated a conversation. We are now connected. We made a commitment. He invited me to come visit him. And he said, he's on Facebook. We're friends on Facebook. And I've just started. May go nowhere. It may go nowhere. I can't change Pakistan. Oh, but Christ can. And it starts with someone over there. And it starts with someone in a relationship with someone who's in a relationship with Jesus. And he has that now. He now has a relationship with someone who has a relationship with Jesus. And he's lucky too because he has someone who believes. That's the work of God. For us to be believers. Maybe you need to initiate a relationship with someone in another nation. Maybe here, maybe you need to initiate or reconnect your personal relationship with Christ. And I know some of you, you're like the nations, that's great, but I've got my things. Here we are. Here we are. Please come. If there's any need whatsoever. Let's stand, let's sing, and let's interact in the name of Christ.